sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Hello, Rita.
Hi again.
Hey, we are taking things into a very serious realm this evening on Sustaining Alive.
Don't play the steel drums.
It's kind of fiesta music.
I just realised there's quite a strong pun going on now because your last name. Rita Steele. Sustaining Alive, 95 BFM.
Now, Rita, we're talking 1080. We're talking 1080.
I'm your
person. We are.
Okay, did you hear that, everyone? The phone number is 309-3879.
Oh, no.
The text machine is 53955.
No,
we're talking about 1080. What even is 1080, by the way?
I think it's the biggest clickbait in the world,
man.
Right?
Talking about the sports maneuver either. So forget about texting in with all your snowboarding stories or whatever you've got to do. Aerial spraying.
Drop it out of the sky.
I was just thinking about
but I'm on tank water.
I'm for pest control, but I don't know if I'm for poisoning something as a means of pest control.
How do you want you like a little trap?
I'm more of a trapping sort of person if we're going to be dealing with pests. But 1080 is more cost effective.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're jumping right into the deep end with this, because we should probably start at what is 1080.
What is it? I want to know what it is. Okay. I don't know what it is properly, and it's embarrassing every time someone brings it up.
Oh, really?
And I just kind of wind them up, and I know that they're quite passionate about it.
Okay, so 1080 is actually a brand name. It's sodium fluoroacetate, and it's actually a naturally occurring substance. So it lives it's found in poisonous plants in Brazil, Africa, and Australia, and in low concentrations in our puha in New Zealand. So it's actually naturally occurring, but it is synthesized in this case, or manufactured for the purpose of pest control. And you said, why can't we trap? Okay, so...
You just run with...
And so we synthesize it into a liquid kind of thing, and does it look like antifreeze? Do we know what it kind of looks like?
Do you know what? I'm not 100% sure, but I think the raw product is a powder.
Is it just called 1080?
Yeah, it's like a brand name.
Like that's it, just 1080?
Yeah. And what we use currently is these little pellets, and they are green or kind of greeny blue. And of those little pellets that you're looking at, 0.15% of that bait is actually the active ingredient of 1080, and the rest is made up of other things like cereal and fillers and stuff.
Yeah.
It has had a pretty dodgy past. So pre-1980s, we had some pretty bad experiences with it.
The 1980s were pretty loose.
Yeah, so we started bringing it in like the 60s or something. So this came through 60s and 70s. And just think about the other stuff we were dumping on the land at that time. We were dumping DDT. It was just kind of an awful time in New Zealand history. And so a lot of the scary things that are thrown around are actually facts from pre-1980s, when we used it in way too high a doses, when we were putting too much on the land, and also we were just doing it kind of without any thought for how the animals would react to it. So, for example, a lot of kea died because I think it was yellow or something.
The world's smartest bird.
Yeah, so they were like, oh, what's this yellow thing over here? And so they were investigating it and dying from it. And there are always going to be some small issues around baits because the kea is one of the most intelligent birds. In fact, I think it's more intelligent than some people I meet sometimes. So I think it's going to be a very difficult bird to stop from trying these things out, especially because we train them. So we go up to the mountains and we go, oh, that's cute here. Here's some stuff to play around with. And so they get very good at being curious. So they are a difficult bird to...
Messing around with the windscreen wipers, I hate those friends.
I know. I've actually never seen one in real life, and I really want to. So that is kind of.
I've got a little fact here. I've 1080. I've interneted 1080. New Zealand is the largest user of biodegradable 1080 poison, using about 80% of the world's supply.
Yes, we do, and we do
Greedy.
That. We do that because we're one of the only places on Earth. We're so lucky because we this country evolved as an island nation, and there was no natural mammalian predators. So there's no mammals in New Zealand naturally, except land mammals, except bats. So we didn't have the rats, the dogs, all the predators that the rest of the world had, mammalian predators. And so none of our species evolved. They didn't really need a lot of defences. So that's why we have birds that don't have wings and can't fly, and they nest on the ground and they forage on the ground because they never had to contend with tigers and that sort of thing. So, and because we've got no mammals, it means that we can land mammals. It means we can safely use 1080 without impacting our native and endemic species.
Right.
So every mammal, land mammal that is here has been brought here and is in some way, shape or form doing some damage to the environment. So,
including John and I.
Yeah, so don't be eating the blue baits, okay?
Yeah, we'll stick there.
So that's why we are the biggest users, because most countries in the world can't do that because they don't want to kill their bears or their whatever other mammals they've got that they're actually trying to protect. So we are in a really unique situation. And looking at some of the damage that these mammalian predators are doing, possums, we've got about 30 million in New Zealand, and they're just decimating the forests. If you go up to Northland, it is really quite heartbreaking what is happening up there.
Is it?
Can I?
Yeah.
I thought people were shooting the hell out of possums. Is that not a thing people are vibing on anymore?
Possums are a really interesting species because they kind of are quite good at being territorial. So if you shoot one and you clear it, let's say it's made a little territory of, you know, 30 meters around it or whatever.
Let's call the possum Simon.
Let's call the possum Simon.
Simon's got an area.
He's made his little... He's got a little harem. He's happy in his 30 cubic meters around him. But then someone comes and shoots him.
Simon.
And then Simon, he's gone. R.I.P.
So, Simon. Now I feel bad. I named him.
Peter and Paul go, hey, look at that space that Simon's left behind. Okay. And they move in and they can bring a couple of mates with them. So whilst there was only one before, now there's three and they're going to have a party.
So they kind of have like a New York mob mentality.
Not necessarily. They're territorial, and the more of them, the more they're squishing in. Mm. Like they can fit in more. Whereas when like one of them could be doing quite a good job of holding down his territory, a larger territory for just him. But as the population's getting bigger, and then as he dies off, then more come into his space. Kind of like the density problem in Auckland.
And possums find 1080 delicious then, obviously.
Yeah, yes, they do. Well, they eat it. It actually comes from... It's really unusual. Most 1080 is found quite a bit in Australia.
Okay.
And the possums over there, some of them are actually...
endangered?
No, yeah, some of them are actually... they've evolved to be resistant to it. So we're kind of lucky that the possums that we got in this country are from parts of Australia that aren't resistant to it. So in that respect, we're pretty lucky.
Someone's asking if 1080 is more dangerous than Roundup. Probably not. I think Roundup like kills like vegetation and stuff when you spray it on, doesn't it? So
that's
just like an all neutralizer.
Yeah, Roundup's got, I think, classed as probably carcinogenic. So I don't know... it's a very good question, so I can find that one out. I'm not sure what.
It's kind of vague though. What's more dangerous? Depends what.
Yeah, how you
depends
have
on
it.
The party.
It totally depends on how you have it. You know, I mean, little bits of them both are found to be fine. So, both of them break down. If you use them responsibly, they can be fine.
Right now, is there currently like a Cessna plane dusting parts of West Auckland? Is that kind of, that's kind of how
no,
it goes,
not
right?
No, West Auckland. Oh, okay. So in Hanua, they've actually they've got an injunction to stop the drop that they were about to do there, because the locals or a community group are claiming that the drop is actually outside of the regulations of the RMA. So it's kind of a legal debate about how they've gone about doing these drops, and it is kind of quite interesting. But I don't know from what I've read whether they'll win or not. But we're I guess we just have to wait and see what the judge says.
We're obviously quite happy with how 1080 works, right? If whoever's been using it for this long, or is it like we just can't think of a better way to get rid of stuff, or what's the...
Yeah, so I mean, it targets three of our worst species, so possum, stoats, and just so you know, stoats kill about 12 fantails per day each.
Excuse me, what?
Yeah, just to maintain their body weight.
And how many of them? How many stoats does a 1080 kill a day?
All of them. A lot of them.
Oh, man, eating up fantails.
Yeah.
Fucking
niggly. And then the third species is rats, which eat a lot of eggs, and they can, and small birds.
I eat eggs too, so I can't hate on the animals.
So we just look at the stats, I guess.
Okay, we'll get it. Sorry, we just had a text in. You can drink Roundup, but you can't eat 1080. Texter.
Yeah.
Don't do either of those things, by the way.
I don't like the path this is going down. I feel like we're going to get texted. So I'm trying this at home. Don't try it at home. Kiwi, 9 out of 10 Kiwis that hatch in New Zealand will die from predation. That stat is just awful. And so if you look at the case study around Kiwi, there was... the Tongariro National Forest, after a 1080 drop, Kiwi population started doubling. So
interesting.
A really good case study is Rangitoto Island. So that had lots of predators on it, and they did a 1080 drop there. And alongside, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, alongside other methods, and they've managed to make Rangitoto completely pest-free now. Mm. And it's super healthy, and the pahutukawa are coming back.
Wow.
So there's just case study after case study of this. Kiwi, 60% of kea nests are attacked. And you're looking at drops that have 100% success rate in nesting, so whereas nearby only 38% are able to raise chicks. So, you know, I mean, I can keep going on about these stats. The stats speak for themselves, and I think what we have to realise when we look at 1080 is that they keep saying this, and it is at this point in time, it's true. It's a necessary evil.
Yeah.
So we have a responsibility legally under the Treaty of Waitangi, but also morally to protect our native species. And at this point in time, without it, we will 100% lose our forests and our birds.
Okay.
So as much as the conservationist in me and the animal lover and the animal activist, I
it's not totally organic. It's not totally organic the way we're doing it.
When species that aren't target species die, so deer and although deer do damage to the environment, but when they die, it's a horrific, and even possums, they're horrific deaths. It's not nice.
This is my thing.
Apparently, most possums are killed via trapping, someone's telling us. Have a look at TrapNZ.
So I think it's fair to say, we can talk about the safety of it, but it's fair to say that, you know, one of the biggest concerns that the reason we've got to this place is because we've completely underinvested in the environment and environmental protection over the last, you know, particularly the last 10 years.
Why would we do that when clean and green is our brand?
Totally, right? It's like, what?
So clean and green, but also heaps of butter and steaks.
And bait. And poison.
Milk.
So yeah, so we've kind of got ourselves into this place where we've just let the kind of the rats and the stoats go AWOL, and then we're like, oh,
I don't
whoops.
Really know what a stoat looks like.
Go Google the stoat.
Because there's a picture of a possum here in the 1080
thing. There's a
ferret
as well.
There's two possums there, and they're both sort of nibbling or something, but I don't think it's 1080. It's like a lovely little
snack.
No, that's
not a 1080. No, I don't think so. It's bad. So just a few little things about, is it safe? So
the fucking rats, they're kind of good looking.
Oh, no, they're not.
Cute. They're really cute.
They're adorable. They're kind of like... You know what it's like? It's like a what's the
mongoose?
Like, no, it's like a
ferret.
Ferret. There you go.
They are. Ferrets are also bad, but they're not as bad as this.
Who would win in a fight between a stoat, a ferret, or a mongoose?
No, stay
see
on
where
target.
This is
We've
going.
Save that for tomorrow.
Mongoose probably can beat snakes.
So to give you a bit of a feel for if it's safe, and I'm going to talk about some of the things that do concern me about it in a minute, but it's never been found in our drinking water, and in an amount that matters, which is more than 2 parts per million. So drinking water, it's not a major. And for a human to die from eating it, so let's just say they come across a deer that's died from 1080. Apparently, they'd have to eat 37 kilos of that meat to be poisoned. So again, you know, I also do not just find a deer and decide to eat it. Like if a deer is dead, maybe you don't eat it. like, because you just don't know, and it could have died from anything, really.
Yeah, it could have died from a bad thing.
We've never found it in the food chain at all, and we've been testing since 99, and it doesn't bioaccumulate or accumulate.
The ground swallows it up and carries
on. Yeah, so it hits the water, and same with soil, microorganisms break it down, and the water, it also dissolves in the water, and it's highly water soluble, so it breaks up in the water
We're talking about 1080, by the way, if you're wondering. We're not talking about Coca-Cola or anything like that.
Which probably also breaks up in the water.
It cleans rust off chrome bumpers.
Some of the things that I did hear people say was, does it destroy New Zealand's clean green... Or that it does destroy New Zealand's clean green image, dropping 1080 all over our country. While I agree, so will having no native species whatsoever.
Yeah.
And we can also be like England if we want to, where we can just have a whole lot of houses and that's it. sorry to people from England.
That's...
So, and then also the other one is birds. Like, it kills, there's the bykill. And that was really interesting. I did some research around that, and it doesn't seem to. In an 11-year study, they found 13 native birds dead after aerial drops. And when they looked into it, they weren't actually all because of 1080. It seemed to be the kea and the weka, who are both, like, curious species. So I think that there's a problem, you know, we have to kind of keep an eye out for. A lot of the birds that had died from 1080 were blackbirds. And if you have a blackbird around your property, you will see they kind of go for anything. They're called generalists. They'll eat kind of anything. So I'm not surprised. Whereas most of our native species are specialists, like they'll only eat certain things and that's it. And so they won't all of a sudden go, oh, there's a blue pellet. I'm going to give that a whirl, you know. So we're lucky in that respect. There is some things that does worry me about 1080.
Oh, man, that was such a weird body shake that you did. It's like, reset, and now it gets serious. I'll get rid of these drums.
Well, I liked them.
No, you go. This is the serious bit. Here you go.
Yeah, okay. So one of the things that worries me the most... This is making me feel weird. So I talked about how I didn't really... It's a pretty nasty way to die. But the thing that worries me the most a little bit is how accurate these drops are. And I have no basis for saying this, but I do think that when all of a sudden we need heaps more people out there dropping this stuff from the sky, like, and probably some of them refusing, some helicopter pilots or I think it's all helicopter, refusing to do it, then, you know, what are the, you know, how do we make sure that this stuff's accurate? So I think we need to be better at, you know, recording the accuracy of it and using GPS and using technology to really make sure it's an accurate drop.
It almost needs to be, independent of the people dropping though as well, because they're going to...
Yeah, totally. They're not going to
Like, someone's like, 13 birds in total, I'm calling bullshit. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? It probably should be an independent test that do this, right? Because it's problematic having like, oh no, we totally nailed it. The pellets fell straight into their mouths. It was great.
The 13 birds test was an 11-year study out of a university. So it was independent. 13 native birds out of 81 that were collected that had died. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess, I can't remember the amount of sites. There was like 8,700 or something. There was quite a few sites. But, you know, sure, we can always do better at monitoring. And the accuracy thing, you know, that I've seen a bit of that recently where they've gone, look, this farmer's cows died because they were nearby the aerial drop. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, is someone monitoring that? Are they checking how accurate those drops are? So I think that that's something that we need to keep an eye out and kind of fix. The big one for me is that this to me, I just don't think that even though we need to do this right now to catch up on the last 10 or 15 years of underinvestment in the environment, I don't really think that 1080 was ever really designed to be a catch-all drop. Like, just use this thing. Mm. It's a magic bullet for our pests. It's supposed to be part of an integrated pest management strategy that includes your trapping. Mm. And it includes, you know, so great for very large areas that we can't access. We've got huge areas of alpine that we just cannot access. But I mean, around cities and stuff, I mean, we should all be trapping. And we should all take responsibility that even in our suburban environments, that we're trapping rats, that we're trapping forests. We should all know how to trap, set a possum trap.
What about hedgehogs? Are we cool about hedgehogs?
Hedgehogs.
Yeah, the hedgehogs are problematic. But
have you ever looked at a hedgehog? Get out, you little...
But so are possum babies. Have you seen a possum baby?
No, but hedgehog adults. They stay good.
But yeah, we are in crisis mode because we have been underfunding. So I think that this is probably like a catch up. And once we've done that, we really need to think about a big countrywide integrated management.
Oh, maybe we could have like our version of a whacking day.
It would be so good if once a month we got a day off to volunteer and just
whack down some possums, huh?
Okay, Big Hungry's weapon of choice?
Yeah,
a club.
Totally.
Okay.
Yay.
Oh, we all form a line, obviously. Okay. Flush them out.
Grids. I just don't really want to beat them up with sticks, because that's what you sometimes have to do.
How does the 1080 kill them? Is it a slow, gnarly death?
It is a pretty gnarly death. But like I say, like not all traps kill them. You have to sometimes get the babies and beat them to death with a stick, which doesn't also sound great to me.
That sounds horrific.
It does.
When can we stop using it? Ever? Question mark?
Yes, I think so.
Should we take a phone call, by the way?
Oh, this is very scary.
Hello, you're with 95BFM. Be gentle.
Hey, g'day, guys. Hey, really, really good story on the 1080. I've done some volunteer pest control work in the Coromandel and in the Hanuas.
Yep.
And it is effing tiger country. Helicopter drop.
Yeah.
You're so right. It's part of an overall plan, but it's so key to the plan, and I've watched the work that the volunteers have done when they've done what they call rings of steel trapping around kokako nests,
right?
Mm. Because those birds are just so prized and precious, man. You've got to get up there and hear them sing. They're just out of this world.
Far out.
But hey, big ups to your story on it, because the misinformation about 1080 is just really, really, really bad reporting, and so good on you guys for telling the story.
Hey, thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
And here I was thinking I was going to have my life threatened. I mean, everyone.
Hey, we're just having a discourse. We're just some people talking about 1080.
Everyone that has been working in this field has said that they, and volunteers, so no one is paid to do this. It's pretty much all volunteers. And they are all saying, you know, the bird song that's coming back. And even I've noticed it at my house. We've got, I've lived in the same spot for 12 years, and every year in springtime, tuis at 4 in the morning are just gorgeous.
That are quite annoying as well.
No,
so
they're
beautiful. So you're motioning to get rid of the tuis?
No, they haven't been coming here this year. So, yeah, you know, we all just need to get out there and volunteer.
Some trees
and
tuis love, eh? Like, there'll be like a tui tree at certain places.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you very much, Rita.
No worries.
Everyone get out and trap.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to stand here and give us a hard time for 1080.
On that, when do you reckon we can sort of, when will we be caught up, do you think, with the 1080? Oh. We can stop and just be trapping from there on out. Yeah, will there ever be a day?
I would really like to think so. I mean, the last government set the predator-free 2050, they didn't put a lot of money behind it, but it is such a cool goal. And I think that if we can actually actively work towards that, imagine a time like just before I die to be able to go, oh yeah, we are pest free. Like, that would just be awesome. So yeah, I think so. I think we could probably even reach it before then if we all got on board and, you know, get out there and volunteer.
Right on.
Listen to the birds. They're speaking to you, man.
Well, that was a mint comment. And that was 1080 with Rita Steele on Sustaining Alive. Thanks, John.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you, Rita.
Thanks.
Thanks for standing in the doorway, Rapley.
That was Sustainin' Alive on 95BFM.